Guy Who Knows a Guy podcast, episode 11, interview with Rachel Postavoit. Hi, I'm Michael Whitehouse with the Guy Who Knows a Guy podcast, produced by Four Unicorns Design with Patrick Howard. Today's interview is Rachel Postavoit. She is a local expert on healthy, natural skincare products because the things you put on your skin every day to create aesthetic and health effects can have positive or negative effects on your body, and she knows quite a bit about making sure that you put the right things on there. She runs a great business at Old Lyme, and I look forward to this interview with Rachel Postavoit. So I'm here with Rachel Postavoit of Greenhouse Beauty. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, good morning.
Glad to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And I didn't even mess up your name.
You did not.
I'm getting away from the Guy Who Knows a Guy podcast tradition of messing up someone's name.
Well, you practiced.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but at least we're talking about it. That's what matters.
Exactly. So.
All right. Well, I was very excited to have you on the show because I talked to Adam on the last interview, and we were talking about how his leaf shaver is here, and I was like, I should have Rachel on the show.
Yeah, that razor is awesome.
Yes, because you have – so your business is not the typical skincare kind of business.
I mean, yeah, no. It's more boutique and very specific – specifically curated products. So basically I have non-toxic products. So I vet the brands that I purchase from so that they're not using any carcinogens or things that could harm us, because the reason is the FDA doesn't actually really do that. They don't require a whole lot, and they haven't changed their regulations since 1938. Hmm. So when you walk into a store and you've got your Procter & Gamble coupon and you're buying, you know, whatever it might be, deodorant, shaving soap, face lotion, sunscreen, you should be really flipping the labels and kind of checking out what's in there. So that's, I wanted to make it easy for people that don't want to read the labels. You can just come here and get something and know that it's going to be safe for you.
That's kind of weird that you can't assume that there's not carcinogens and toxic chemicals and
no
stuff meant for your skin.
Right. Right, you really can't. Even a brand, this is, I don't normally call out brands, but like Aveeno is a very common one that people just think is, it's very natural. It's mm-hmm. got that kind of like oatmeal and just natural aesthetic.
Yeah, the name is full of vowels. It must be natural.
It must be natural. And it's really not. And so it's just important to be educated, or at least, you know, ask the right questions or go to the right person who does know definitely the research behind it.
That does sound very important. And that's why this podcast is made entirely without carcinogens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nobody...
Formulated without carcinogens. It's very important. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no evidence this podcast causes cancer.
Right. Although, I don't know. People are on the fence about cell phones.
Well, yeah. That's your device. I can't control what you see, what you listen to it on.
I actually don't know the science behind that, so I can't speak to it.
Yeah, no, your cell phone might be causing cancer, but as it, the podcast isn't causing cancer itself.
No, so. I think it's like a vitamin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it actually makes you smarter.
Yeah.
It's good. So what got you into this business?
Yeah, so, a long time ago, I don't know, probably like 13, 14 years ago, I did not have great skin. And I'm sometimes an acne-prone person, and then I definitely am a self-proclaimed picker. Mm-hmm. So I went to the dermatologist, and they gave me a few prescriptions. They actually suggested I had diabetes because I was like, I feel like my skin doesn't heal well, and apparently that's a symptom of diabetes. So mm-hmm. they suggested I had diabetes but didn't actually look further into it. I don't, by the way. I had another doctor check because it freaked me out. And then they prescribed me two things, and I never filled the prescriptions because I said, you know what, if it's something that I'm using all the time, I just feel like there's going to be a boatload of chemicals that I could probably avoid if I just learned how to understand my skin. Mm-hmm. So I kind of was doing a lot of like at-home things. I mean, I would do lemon juice, I would do tea tree, I would do, honestly, like a raw potato. Like, that actually helps with acne, I don't know, it might be a wife's tale, but I felt like it worked, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I was making my own shampoos for a while because I was just becoming aware that the ingredients that were in the products were not necessarily the actual best for us. And so I was doing a lot of like DIY fun things. And then I got a part-time job at Lush Cosmetics, which, if you don't know, is that super fun soap store that, like, everything looks like candies, and there's, like, a lot of bath bombs. And that kind of like only fueled my, my passion for it. Just like really knowing what ingredients do for you, knowing why you should be avoiding certain things, and, kind of grew from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so, so this store, I mean, I haven't been to a lot of skincare stores, but this store for the folks at home who can't see it, it's, you know, kind of open and airy, and you have, you know, some displays of different types of, materials. and then you have an area over there for, I assume that's actually trying the...
Yeah, that's the beauty bar. So we have like a try-on station where we actually will take off your makeup if you came in with makeup, and we'll try some things out, kind of assess what concerns you might have, whether it's, you know, dryness or sun damage or, you know, acne, if that's something that concerns you as well. And we'll kind of talk about a regimen that could really suit you for every day. Because a lot of people kind of just do the bare minimum on the daily, and then they'll go get a facial, which, you know, you can certainly go get a facial and get a lot of work done in one sitting, but you're going to have more fantastic results if you're doing like a really personalized regimen, like every day. And then just doing those, you know, fancy, you know, micro needling or whatever. I haven't gotten a facial in a long time because I've been able to, you know, get myself into the right routine of, you know, exfoliating a few times a week and, you know, masking, you know, twice a week, whatever it is that's right for me. And that usually actually changes seasonally as well. And then we're actually sitting in the living room area. No joke.
I know, so you have one more piano than most.
I do.
Most beauty stores do.
It's a keyboard, and I do want a real piano here at some point because I do want this to truly feel like a living room at home. And honestly, this is where you'll find me most days, like making orders or, you know, working on an Instagram post or whatever. But I wanted it to be a place where people felt welcome to stay. And I've had clients stay and like hook up to the Wi-Fi and, you know, come in with coffee, and it's fantastic. I wanted it to feel like more than a store. And then, you know, I'm in Old Lyme, so there really isn't a whole lot of green beauty options. You know, a lot of people are going to Sephora or Ulta for their needs, and there definitely are a few green brands, but you can't scan the shelves and easily know what's green and what's not. And then there are a few things in Connecticut. There's Jenny Frisa in Madison, who's been doing it for a while, and she also has like wonderful brow services. And then there's Green Beauty actually in Willimantic, and they do hair care as well. So those are some other great local options, you know, if you're willing to travel like 35, 40 minutes.
But yeah, so there's not a lot of places like this.
There's not, no. And I actually was thinking about how it'd be fun to have like a green beauty trail. You know how they do like the wine trail?
Oh, there you go.
So you can stamp your passport, because I think we all offer something slightly different. And we're all kind of on the same path that, like, you know, this matters. Like, cancer is, I mean, the big C word, it's so serious, and it affects absolutely everyone we know. There's no one that we know that doesn't know someone with cancer. Excuse me. And I absolutely believe that it's the way we eat. It's what we expose to our bodies with, you know, the products. They're readily absorbed into our bloodstream. So, you know, if you're using something that's got parabens in it, they're actually cutting open tumors and finding parabens in there. So, you know, and not all parabens are derived from the same thing. They've got, you know, other types of preservatives that are not so severe, but you have to know how to read that label, or you have to have the resources. A great one is ewg.org/skindeep. You can go and check out ingredients or products and see what the actual toxicity levels are.
Oh, wow.
And it'll give it an overall rating, like say something will have an overall rating of 1, which is deemed pretty safe. Like 0 to, I think, 3 is deemed pretty safe. However, if you click into it, you might see that they've got an ingredient that's rated a 7 and an ingredient that's rated a 5, which those are a little bit riskier. And then you kind of choose what's right for you. You know, is this something that I do want to apply every day? Maybe not. And everyone can draw their own personal line in the sand for that.
Yeah. Well, and especially with what you do, because it's especially challenging with food, like with my lifestyle, I'm out on the road all the time and I eat terrible food. But I need to eat food.
Yeah.
And it's highly perishable and it's hard to take with me. But with skincare, you're going to buy skincare supplies at a store. You're going to keep them at home and you're going to put them on your face every day.
And night.
And so it seems to make a lot of sense to invest the small amount of time and small amount of money. I don't even know if your stuff costs more or not, but.
It depends. I mean, I think the prices are all very fair based on the ingredients. Mm-hmm. So I have one specific oil that is filled with like a blend of Amazonian oils like copaiba and precoxy and Sasha Inchi and all of these incredible things. And the way he's blended it, and he's also got some like infusions that I really can't speak to it. I'd have to grab the mm-hmm. box. Dr. Alkaidis is just like a magician in the skin world to me. Mm-hmm. And so that one's $150 for an ounce. I've got other things that are, you know, like 4 ounces that are $92. And, you know, it's based on the ingredients is basically. So, I mean, you can get a starter kit for $50. You know what I mean? Like it depends on, or you can get a travel size face wash for $12. It really, you know, I can work with people. I also have bar soaps that are completely like face safe and actually are one of the things that I swear by for clearing up my acne, the basic bar soaps, which are, made in Connecticut actually, in Stafford Springs, Dory Patera, Julie, who just had skin issues from being a hairdresser. A lot of the chemicals were bothering her hands.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was like, I need to fix this. And so the saponified oils in that soap helped to clear up her hands. Her hands are amazing now.
Wow.
It's dependent on the ingredients, and that's what it should be. If you look to, I'm going to call it another brand, I'm sorry, but La Mer, it was bought out and now it's made in like the same factory that like Olay is made in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're spending $300 for a cream that you're buying the name. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it shouldn't be like that, but it definitely is. It's, you're buying a brand name. So some of the names that are here, people have not heard of, but they're some of like the skin jewels in the world. I would say my skin is better than it's been in a lifetime. And I just had my 32nd birthday, and I did not think that would be how that goes. You know, I would think, you know, oh, I'm starting to get discouraged with lines and all that stuff, and I'm not. I feel like my skin looks better than it did in high school.
There you go. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
But yeah, I would say it seems like a small investment for something, especially where you know, beauty is not like food. You have to eat something. If you don't eat something, then you will die.
Sure.
Whereas, yeah, with anything aesthetic, the idea of putting something toxic on your face to look better always seems like a really weird trade-off.
Definitely.
I'm increasing my chance of cancer so I can look a little better.
What? Absolutely. I've recently just kind of had that, not connection, like I knew that was happening, but like in my mind, I told myself like people should not be paying that high ticket for, you know, beauty. Like that shouldn't be the price that they're paying, because it really does come mm-hmm. down to, you know, you're exposing yourself to these things over time and your body is eventually not going to be able to fight them off.
Mm-hmm.
And then antiperspirant is a big one because your body's designed to sweat. If you're using an antiperspirant, you're basically trapping a lot of toxins right by these lymphatic glands right here. Mm-hmm. So breast cancer used to be 1 in 20 in like the 60s, and now it's 1 in 8. And I do think, and a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, it's not the aluminum that's doing it. Like, okay, so maybe the aluminum is not causing it. However, you're trapping all those toxins. I mean, your body can be exposed to things, right? Like we are all the time. Like there's, you know, in furniture, there's like, what is it? And like flame retardants. Like there's, mm-hmm. there's all these things that like our bodies just come into contact all the time. So
that's why I stopped licking furniture.
That's why you stopped licking. Yeah. That's a good point.
It's not good for you.
You should not. Yeah. Not very nutritious, but, regardless of whether or not you wear makeup, you should be washing at the end of the day, 'cause you just come in contact with a lot of toxins, whether or not you're aware.
Hmm.
So not to scare you, but also do research.
And now I need to go take a shower. Took one, but I need to take another one after this conversation.
Right, yeah.
Whatever you're doing, just stop, take a shower right now.
Yeah, pause this podcast and go shower.
Except that then I get in the shower and probably use cleaning supplies that are as bad as anything else I'm encountering in the environment. So,
yeah, I mean, possibly if any of your products say perfume or fragrance, do you know this loophole? Have you heard about this yet?
No, I did not know this.
Okay, guys, this is important. If you take anything out of this podcast, this should be it. So if you see on a label perfume or fragrance and it doesn't say like natural or origin or something, it basically means that they can put whatever ingredients into that category, call it fragrance, and they don't have to tell you what's in there. It's considered a trade secret. So they could literally put, what is it? Arsenic. They could put arsenic in there. They could put formaldehyde in there. They could put whatever they want to put in there, and they do not have to tell you. And so this is a big industry loophole because they want to make their products like the highest profit margin. So by putting cheaper ingredients in and then just calling it fragrance, they don't have to tell you in there.
Oh, wow.
So, and, you know, you'd like to think you're buying from really good people, but I guarantee, you know, the people at the top that are making those budgetary decisions, like, they're just like, yeah, it's cheaper, go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, and not a lot of those really big companies are collectively really good people. There may be good people in them. But,
sure, of course.
But and that's the system. Yeah, is yet when you have that diffusion responsibility, is one person says we should make good products, and the next person says we should make good products and not spend too much money on them, and the next person says here's how you can save money.
Right.
And then the fifth person's like, we like saving money. Yeah, it sounds fine.
Right.
It's safe, right? Oh yeah, sure, it's safe. Yep, yeah, it's fine.
Right. Well, and also like a lot of the smaller brands that start to do really well will get bought out. So like Procter & Gamble, Unilever, Estee Lauder, L'Oreal, they'll buy out the smaller brands because, you know, like Estee Lauder, for example, a lot of younger girls aren't buying it as much. It's kind of more of an older woman's brand. You know what I mean? Or when I wasn't caring about ingredients, like they do perform well. Like that is definitely real. But they'll buy out a smaller brand like Shea Moisture and then they'll reformulate it. And so it's not the original stuff that you loved anymore.
Ah, so. Yes. Yeah, I've seen that in a few businesses.
Absolutely. I think Harry's Shave Club just got bought out by Schick.
Okay.
Because Schick, like, people are moving away from the plastic razors. They're starting to realize, like, okay, you know, plastic is, like, every piece of plastic that was ever made is still in the world. They cannot get rid of it. It doesn't, it's not like glass where you can, like, make it into something new as well as easily because a lot of it gets just trash, right? If it's not clean, like, it's actually an industry where they have to buy the recycled. Do you know that? They buy the recycled stuff. It's crazy. So if it doesn't get bought, it just becomes trash.
Yep.
So, you know, rather than recycling, a lot of people are kind of making those switches. So rather than, like, the plastic razors that Schick sells, people will go to something like Harry's or whatever. I actually have never used Harry's. I have this guy now.
Yeah, yeah, Leaf Shave.
Leaf Shave. And
you get one of those too, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, you don't shave much. Cause Michael, if you have not seen his face, has a very nice beard.
I do, but I have to shave around it.
Around it, and the neck. You don't do an electric?
Nope.
Oh.
I just a regular razor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Learning so much.
Yes, and I currently use Dollar Shave Club until I get a Leaf.
Right. Yeah, actually, you know, even my dad was like, I have... What is it? He might actually have Harry's. And he just bought a bunch. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm not getting this right yet. And I was like, that's fine. When you're done.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting. The industry with Dollar Shave Club is their whole business model is they took the brand off it and sold it for a reasonable markup instead of a 700% markup. And that's their business model. They make exactly the same thing Gillette does.
Right.
But, I think probably about the same. But for way, way, way less.
Yeah. What I love about Leaf, though, is they basically... Because they're still selling the heads. Basically, like, the head is the expensive, fancy thing that they're like, oh, you know, you can't make a head, but Leaf Shave was like, you can. Here, like, just snap these little guys in half. You guys, if you haven't gone to leafshave.com, I'm not going to describe it well. I actually am terrible at describing things sometimes. Like, I tried to describe a bird the other day, and my friends were like, please never be a witness in anything, because that person will go free. But just go to leafshave.com.
That works. Yeah, this is now two episodes in a row. Well, I recorded an episode of a chapter of the book.
Oh, nice.
So for those of you who don't know, they probably do if you're listening to this episode, in between the interviews, I'm recording reading chapters of the book.
Yeah.
And then doing commentary on them. Nice. So that way, if I don't have an interview that week and I've got, I have book, book chapters until I run out of book. I guess I'll have to write another book at that point when I run out of book chapters to read. But so that way, sort of, and then when I'm done, I'll actually have the audiobook recorded.
Yeah. Which
is recorded chapter by chapter.
I love that. That's smart.
But so the previous interview was with Adam about Leaf Shave.
Right.
And then I talked to Patrick, who's our producer, about Leaf Shave and how it worked and explaining it and describing it. And so I feel like between these two episodes,
people are going to.
If you don't have an understanding of what Leaf Shave is, then you just weren't listening.
I'll stop talking about it, but it really is amazing. Okay, yeah. I'm done.
Yeah, but no, it is really great. It's just a great, simple concept.
Yeah.
It's one of those, like, how did no one think of this before?
I know.
Sort of things.
It's so good.
I kind of look at it like, how are there not 50 of these on the market? Because it seems so simple and obvious, and yet apparently it's not.
Yeah.
So.
I know, those guys.
Yeah. And then, of course, in business, it's not just have a good idea, it's have a good idea and get it to market.
Right.
You know, get people into it and get them to use it.
And execute it. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe Zig Ziglar said the man who builds a better mousetrap will starve to death without a salesman to sell his mousetrap. Because there are some great ideas that have died on the vine because they couldn't explain them or market them or push them out. So that's really the...
I believe it.
That's the much, much bigger thing. And, you know, the idea you have, you know, having healthy beauty products is kind of a no-brainer. And yet, there's 3 stores in Eastern Connecticut that do it.
Yeah.
Which is not a lot for...
It's really not. And it's something... I think a lot of people just... They still don't know. I mean, I know we're talking about it, but there's so many things to be concerned about in this world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just buying what's quick and easy. And I totally get that.
Yeah.
I do get that. I think, like, my sister's a mom of 2 small children, and she's got, you know, a full-time job and then a part-time church gig, and she's a wonderful wife. And there's so many things on everyone's plate. So it's like, it feels like just one more thing. Which is why this place, I think, like, you can come in and just rest easy that, you know, whatever you get is going to be good for you. And then also, if you're one of those people who was like, you know, my mom never taught me makeup. My mom never taught me skincare. Like, I have so many women that are, you know, in their 50s and beyond, like, how do I do that again? And there's no shame in that, because my mom didn't really teach me skincare and makeup. I just became immersed in it because I was like, this is fun.
Yeah.
You know, and like makeup and skin, like they always fit. They're always exciting. And I think for a long time, I definitely had an addiction to buying like just too much. When I was working in the industry, like there's definitely, you have to like try things so that you can speak to them. But I absolutely had an addiction. And I think about it now, I'm like, I was never satisfied with the product all the way through because they weren't that good.
Yep.
But now when I use the products that I bring into the store, like I'm like scrounging out the last end of the oil cleanser from Kahina Giving right now because it's so good. It's got, you know, just to tell you about it, it's like an oil cleanser. So oil cleansers, you smooth over dry skin, they cling to every bit of dirt and makeup. And then when you add the water in, it just washes off clean. It's so easy. It's got like blue tansy, which is very calming for the skin, turmeric, which helps to deal with inflammation. And it's just like the magical end of my day, which I really enjoy. Not everyone, some people look at it like a chore, but I think if you kind of shift your mindset and you're like, this is self-care, this is the 5-minute meditation that I didn't do when I woke up, you know, I think it becomes very therapeutic. And it's just like a form of self-love.
Yeah. Well, I think the great value you bring to it too is that someone can walk in here and be like, I need face stuff. And you'd be like, great, I will now ask you a series of questions to get you to the answer. Whereas with, say, eating better, the reason I don't really bother trying to eat better and avoid terrible food is I know that I will just jump out of one pit into another one. Be like, hey, I'm avoiding wheat. Now I'm eating too much meat. Okay, I'm avoiding meat. Now I'm eating too much of this other thing. Oh, now I'm eating this thing that has all these pesticides in it. So, and there's no store I can go to and be like, guide me.
Actually, you know what? Probably Fiddleheads.
Maybe.
If you really wanted to say, hey, guess what? I need help choosing the right things. If you went to Fiddleheads, they'd probably...
Yeah, okay.
Or one of the co-ops, the Willimantic Food Co-op, or, that's the other one is Fiddleheads.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But yeah,
But you have the benefit. Someone can walk in here and be like, okay, so I use makeup, but it's probably not good. So here's what I use. Should I do? And you'll be like, here's what it is. Here's what it cost. Boom, done. It takes out that whole stress. Because, you know, if you're just trying to avoid a certain thing, you'll just end up in the next bad thing.
You could. Yeah. I mean, I think it depends on, you know, if you're figuring out the why, like, why am I avoiding this? Mm-hmm. And kind of finding, like, for example, some people break out or have belly issues with, like, dairy, mm-hmm. right? And actually, food, this plays into the skincare because your digestive tract will often show up on your face, right? So if you have, like, an insensitivity to, like, wheat or shellfish or whatever it might be, you're probably going to get, like, hives or a breakout or something. Like, your skin will tell you what's going on inside of your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we've got all of these invisible things going on inside of us, but our skin actually is very smart. So, like, if you're not eating, I don't know, like, if you're eating a lot of, like, processed foods, like, you're probably going to break out more. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. not everyone's going to be like that. My skin will definitely tell me what's up. Like, if I eat something I'm not supposed to be eating, my skin will tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about, like, I think it was the 80s where everyone was like,
chocolate.
Yeah. Or, you know, was it fat is bad? Low fat, low fat, low fat. And then you look at the low fat stuff and the sugar content's double what it is in the non-low fat.
It's crazy, yeah.
So, because sugar was okay. Supposedly. Of course, there's a whole story as to why people thought sugar was okay.
Of course.
So they're avoiding fat and jumping into sugar, which was not better.
And now, with the keto diet, it's the high fat,
yep.
low sugar, low carb.
But then, you know, we're trying to avoid sugar. Well, you go to aspartame. Well, that's a neurotoxin. Right. And you know, we're trying to avoid this. You go to that. So it really takes a lot more than just avoid one thing.
I hear you. Definitely.
It's like jumping from bear trap to bear trap.
Sure. Well, yeah, and I think that's why, like, if you're voting with your dollar, you're not, like, honestly, I sometimes have a hard time with, like, I was looking up at, like, Procter & Gamble brands, like, and they own Klondike. We're on food again. But it's all kind mm-hmm. of tied in. But, like, they own Klondike, they own, like, the Magnum bars, like, those really rich chocolatey mm-hmm. things that, like, Mila Kunis is the voice for, I believe. Ben and Jerry's, so that little Vermont cute ice cream shop that you think is still privately owned is definitely not. And then there's Breyers. So, and then you think about it, that's four different clients that they're able to get, right? Because mm-hmm. it honestly comes down to, like, profit and money. Like, they want to get those four clients. So if four different people are going into the grocery store, Breyers, someone that's looking for simple ingredients, right? Ben and Jerry, someone who's looking for, like, small business, kind of locally owned. Mm-hmm. Klondike, the budget person, maybe they've got a coupon. And then the Magnum, I don't know who's shopping for that, but people who like Mila Kunis.
Serious ice cream people.
Serious, well, chocolate, I don't know. Maybe they, I don't know. But anyway, like... It's all under the same umbrella. That money is going to the same places. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think when you're shopping with brands that are honestly doing it a lot smaller, I think the mass-produced things are always going to have that, like, that goal of, like, okay, the highest profit margin we can absolutely ever have.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the smaller brands are buying the most expensive ingredients that they could possibly buy so that they can make the most ethical things that they could be proud of. And when people come to them and say, hey, we'd like to buy you out, they say no.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think that's pretty cool.
That is.
I think that's really cool.
Well, also really cool has been having you on the podcast.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for making the time. I'm glad we're able to. Glad we're able to connect on the right week.
On the right week.
I contacted you last week. I'm like, hey, tomorrow? And you're like, no, that's my birthday.
Next week. So. I'm turning 30. I'm busy turning 32.
Yes, that does sound like a lot of work.
It was so much work.
Yeah.
It actually was a lot of work. We'll tie up with this. So, right after I turned 32, I lost my debit card and my credit card.
Oh, no.
Then I went to the bank, and my license was expired.
Oh.
So, I was like, I am killing 32, but we're all good now.
Okay. You got all the rough stuff out of the way first.
I did. So, the rest of it should be fine.
All right.
I'm going to knock on something.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Okay.
There we go. So what is your website? Where do people find you?
All right. So if you're local, I would love for you to come here. So you're going to find me 19 Halls Road in Old Lyme, right next to the Hideaway. If you've never been to the Hideaway, it's a really fun pub. They've got wonderful wing nights, if that interests you. Mm-hmm. But if you walk to the Hideaway and look left, you will see my store. You can also find me at www.greenhousebeautyct.com. And you can go ahead and give me an email at rachel@greenhousebeautyct.com. Rachel spelled R-A-C-H-E-L. And I do email consultations too. If you're like, I'm not local, but this really interests me.
Fancy.
We definitely do that. Yeah, you can send a picture. I can help you get your right colors. I might, you know, ask some fun questions like, you know, does your skin feel dry on your forehead, on your cheeks, on your chin, on your nose? Do you get oily throughout the day? Just certain things that you might not have thought about before, but it'll help me kind of get to know what your skin type is and what your skin goals are.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show. I've enjoyed learning much about skincare and food and how it all fits together.
And more, because I go on tangents.
That's what we're all about. All right. Well, thank you.
All right.
So it's very interesting meeting with Rachel and learning about her business, because it's definitely a great example of someone who sees a need and then builds a business around it and just kind of figures it out and makes it work, which is really how the best businesses tend to come together. There's kind of two ways a business can happen. One is that someone says, there's a place I can make some money over there. And the other way is there's a need and I'll figure out how to make some money doing that. And Rachel definitely started from the need of people are putting toxic things on their skin that aren't helping them. And I should find a way to help them put less toxic things on their skin and sell things.
Well, it's a great place to be in, right? I mean, there's a lot of, I think, healthy competition in that arena.
Mm-hmm.
Even though a lot of these companies, like she said, are being bought up by other bigger names, right? Like, it's still a good competitive landscape.
Yeah, well, and also in her position, because as she went through the other businesses like hers, there's only a few of them, I think three or four in Eastern Connecticut here. And so it's really the small local businesses who can provide not only quality products, but also knowledge and that almost concierge level service versus CVS and Ulta and the kind of big box names.
Oh, right.
So her competitive advantage is the concierge advice. You know, if you go into even Sephora and whatnot, they can give you some advice, but they may not know about the ingredients and they may not know about.
Right, because they don't really know where it comes from.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also they're not, I imagine many of the staff are knowledgeable, but they're not all really professional. You know, they're not making, it's not a professional career. There's not a lot of people who are working there for 20, 30 years.
All right, it's sales.
And yeah, and going to conferences to learn more about it and studying
sure,
it.
Sure, 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 yeah.
They learn as much as they need to do to make the sales and make their money, and they probably don't make very much of it, so they're not incentivized to really become experts. Whereas Rachel certainly become an expert because it's her passion.
It's her baby.
And it's her business. Yeah. And one, I think she had the passion first and then said, I'm going to build a store around this, which is a great thing. And one of the big transitions in our economy has been moving away from local to, you know, big chains and national companies. And the competitive advantage that small business have, which is why there's still so many small stores out there, is they have people like Rachel running them. They've got these local experts in their field who do it because they really care about the topic and really care about what they're doing, so they can answer your questions.
Right.
As I said, you could walk in there and say, I've got skin and I want skin stuff. And she'll be like, all right, let me ask you some questions. And, you know, if you go into Sephora and say, hey, I've got skin and I've got skin stuff, they'd be like, all right, I'm going to need more details than that. And you're like, I don't know. All I know is I got a skin problem, and I don't know. So having that level of service, which is also what, you know, the local, hopefully a local private hardware store is able to do for you, local computer store is able to do for you.
Oh, yeah.
Local insurance agent, all those kinds of local businesses, that's the advantage, is they can really help you. Travel agents, another one that people think the internet replaced, and they're still around.
Right. Well, and she's way more invested in her product than somebody who works at Sephora, right? Like, if I was a random salesperson at Sephora, I'm not making the stuff that I'm selling.
Mm-hmm.
We're yep. the company is buying it and we're retailing it.
Yeah. And you're not even buying the stuff, you're selling.
Right. Right.
It's you know, the manager comes and says, hey, we just got a new display of this. Move it.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, but doesn't it have arsenic in it? Yeah, it's not that much. It'll be fine.
Oh, even then, I'm sure that conversation is not even happening there. I mean,
sure. Well, and salespeople probably don't even know that it's got
right.
whatever in there because why? Well, and as a salesperson, you don't seek out that knowledge of what is bad about your product because if it's in your head, then you know it.
And if you do, you might actually quit and yeah. go, wait a minute.
Yeah. So if you don't learn the stuff you don't want to know, or if you don't learn the stuff that makes it hard to sell your product, then you don't have to worry about if you're lying about it or not because you don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, which is a challenge with those kinds of jobs. Again, one thing I do like about my current role, like when I sold cars, I would know the good points and bad points of the cars I sold. And generally, you know, most cars are fundamentally pretty similar. But I'd know the bad points and kind of try to gloss over them.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Whereas, you know, now with, you know, working with Best Version Media, there's not really negative points you need to gloss over. Like, I know the good points and it's more a matter of what it can do, what it can't do. It's very good at building a brand in a local market. It's not very good at building a statewide audience.
Sure.
You know, if you got $1 million budget for a statewide audience, well, it's still good because it can build targeted marketing with brand advocacy. But it's not good for like a direct response sort of thing. It's not a coupon, that sort of thing. But you know, there's things it's good at, things it's bad at, but there's nothing that's like, oh, I sure hope they don't figure out this thing. Like, everything can be laid out on the table.
Oh, sure.
And the decision, the correct answer then becomes sign up. So it's
sign
nice.
Up or don't sign up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's completely up to you.
Yep. And so that's a really important thing. I think that's why a lot of people hate their jobs. They have to kind of compromise. Like, they know, you know, I know this isn't really the best for the person I'm working with, but my incentive structure is not aligned with my customer.
True story. When I worked at a big box music store, I was selling audio equipment, and yeah, there were many times where I would have $300 microphones that performed similarly. I always struggle with that word. similarly. Whew. But they all had different profit margins.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one that had a really small profit margin, and it was really good. Great microphone. But then there were other ones there was another one that had like 50 or 60% profit on it.
Mm.
And they would always push us to sell those because it made the store more money and it made me more money. But it was a lesser product.
Yeah.
So I had a hard time selling it because I was like, I was too honest. I was like, look, you don't want this microphone. You want the other one. Trust me.
Which is a good way to be.
It is a great way to be. It just doesn't make your company a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a challenge there. And that's one of the benefits too of being in, you know, more successful as business comes being more comfortable as business becomes successful is to be able to say basically this is not the best thing for me, it was the best thing for you. So I'm going to tell you to do that.
Like yeah.
I was meeting with a potential sponsor today who I really do think it'll be a great fit for this business to get in one of my magazines. But I think the best choice for this person is to take a week and make sure, because at the stage that of business this person's in,
yeah.
it's not a good time to jump into something.
Okay, sure.
There's some transitions going on in the business. And, right. and again, ultimately, I think the right choice is to get in, but I'd rather that they take a week, 2 weeks, get all their ducks in a row, and then say, let's do it, than to get in too soon and make a decision that maybe they regret or maybe they're questioning. I always like to make sure that they are no longer questioning their decision when they...
Well, not unlike the story of when you went to the dealership
mm-hmm.
and they pretty much told you, don't buy a car right now.
Yes. Yep.
That's a great way to do business.
That is definitely a great way to do business.
Yeah, you're not going to make money right then and there, but you're going to make money at some point because now you've gained the trust of that customer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's definitely a very important thing. Yeah, and that trust is a very valuable asset. And that's one of the challenges with the fact that people are so transient in many businesses.
Oh, sure.
Is that you get very short-term incentives, both for the business and also for the individual. If you're not expecting to be there in 5 years, then you don't really care if the trust factor builds over time with that business because you won't be there to benefit from it.
Right.
Of course, there's still your, you know, soul Are you compromising your integrity to make a sale this week and get $100 or $200 or whatever commission you make on that particular sale? But that added some of the complexity to it. I think that's some of the challenge that we have in modern business, is because it's become more and more impersonal on the business to consumer level.
Yeah.
Business to business still ends up being pretty personal, because you do end up having relationships in a lot of areas. But,
sure, yeah.
But for a lot of those big purchases, house, furniture, appliances, cars, you don't have a relationship to rely on.
No,
not at all. Becomes much more challenging to figure out who can you trust, who can you go to, that sort of thing. So let's see. I have a recommendation. We have done some, of a podcast recommendation that you might wish to listen to. This is another Gimlet podcast. It is called The Pitch. It is kind of a more academic and intellectual version of Shark Tank.
Oh.
Basically. So Shark Tank is more primetime TV.
Right.
And it doesn't really get into the nitty gritty. It's just like, you come in and boom, we'll give you $200,000. Huzzah.
Right. They try to ask a couple of questions that are deep cut questions, but really, no.
And there's nothing, there's no explanation of,
right,
of what this is about. The pitch is the same kind of concept. There's four investors, but it's not a Shark Tank. And very often the investors will say, you know, this isn't a fit for me because I represent a capital group or a venture capital firm. But here's my advice. I'd love to talk to you more later. It's a lot more human. And that's something I enjoy. And also the investors are more human. Like, most of them have a philanthropic foundation, as well as some have a firm they work with, some do their own, some do both. And so there's that kind of dynamic to it. But it's the same concept. It's early stage startups come in and they give their pitch. But then periodically the announcer, the narrator, will occasionally pop in and either explain some context, which is sometimes business context, sometimes cultural context.
Oh, cool.
They may mention a movie from the 90s that maybe you remember and maybe you don't. And so they'll give you a quick reminder of like what that reference means. So it's valuable to clue in, but it's really built more around educating people as to how business and how it works and startups and whatnot, more than just the entertainment of will they, won't they? You know, with Shark Tank, when they go in, it's like, if they don't get the whole amount they're asking for, they get nothing.
Right.
Whereas with The Pitch, it's much more natural. I'm looking for. Also, with Shark Tank, you get the sense of if they walk out of the room without an investor, they've lost. They're doomed.
Right.
And that you don't really realize they're going out to 100 other investors.
Right.
As well. Whereas with The Pitch, it's very clear. You know, I'm looking to raise $400,000 this round, and it's a $4 million valuation or whatever. And so one will say, okay, I'm going to put in $25,000. I'm going to put in $50,000. And that's good. They're not looking for a certain amount that they have to get all of from the,
right,
the panelist. So it's a much more real kind of experience.
It sounds like they take the time to stretch out and really give the audience a perspective of what it's actually like to run a business and what it's like to get investors, and explain some of the concepts and what's going on.
And of course, it's 30, 40, 45 minutes of one pitch.
Oh, see, that's even better.
Yeah, where Shark Tank, I think, is five pitches in one TV hour, which doesn't really get in depth at all. And then they'll usually do a follow-up, they'll call. Because in the room, you know, an investor may promise this or that, but then they do their due diligence, and probably half of the commitments never actually come through for one reason or another.
Oh, wow.
Including one of them simply didn't come through because, as listening to one episode, didn't come through because the email just went to spam.
Whoa.
Which is just like,
that'll do it.
Yep. And it ended up, for the investor, the entrepreneur, it was fine. They ended up filling the round without that investor getting involved. The investor was like, ah, damn, need to check my spam filter. but just that, it's all that very, very normal kind of stuff that happens. So that is my recommendation for the week, which is The Pitch.
That sounds awesome.
Yes.
Actually.
Yeah. It's a great, great show. And actually the other thing that I like about it too, is it has less of an adversarial tone than Shark Tank. The investors are always trying to be supportive and helpful, and especially one of them always gives some very good advice. But a lot of them will often say, you know, here's some tips, here's some advice, I'll introduce you to someone.
Oh, sure,
It feels you feel better about it. It feels very positive and supportive in the experience of it. So that is the recommendation, and I believe that is our show for today.
Pretty solid, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's a good show. Yeah. So I'm Michael Whitehouse. This has been the Guy Who Knows a Guy podcast. My website is guywhoknowsaguy.com, and if you are not signed up for my email list, you should be. I've actually started adding a bit more personal narrative, if you will, because that's what I'm finding people resonate with. So I'm actually doing sort of a mini blog entry on every issue of the email list that's going out, in addition to, of course, all the networking events. And you can sign up for that at guywhoknowsaguy.com. My associate here is Patrick Howard of Four Unicorns Design.
That's me.
And thank you very much for listening.
JV Connect is coming up quick, December 12th and 13th. If you are looking for a networking event where you can meet people who aren't looking to just pitch you or take, but actually want to collaborate, build strategic partnerships, joint ventures, maybe even find some mentors, some coaches, people to support you, accountability partners, who knows? If you're looking for good people in an environment that's not stressful, but is set up to give you a lot of great connections in an efficient amount of time, check out JV Connect. jv-connect.com. That's jv-connect.com. December 12th and 13th, 2023. We'll see you there.